The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Do you ever feel stuck on a hamster wheel, constantly running but getting nowhere? The secret is actually quite simple. When you fall in love with yourself, everything else falls into place, personally and professionally. It's time to get unstuck, reclaim your personal power, and recapture your zest for living. Now, here's your host, Deborah Jane Wells.
Hi, this is Deborah Jane Wells, life coach and Reiki master. Thanks for tuning into our show. Today's theme is, if you could talk with the animals. I'm pleased to welcome today's guest, my dear friend, Sandy Osman, a light worker and energy healer for over 16 years, as a certified arch master healer, ordained minister, Reiki master, and animal communicator. Sandy Osman incorporates reconnective healing, the Yuan method, spirit channeling, and EFT into her vibrational medicine. A 1996 near-death experience initiated Sandy's own dynamic spiritual journey and training. Through her work as an animal communicator, Sandy supports the healing and growth of all beings and our planet.
Hi, Deborah. It's so nice to be here.
And it is wonderful to have you, Sandy. As you know, each week we explore the transformative power of loving yourself unconditionally and how choosing to fuel yourself with constructive core energy based in love, respect, curiosity, compassion, and gratitude transforms your life from victim to victory, from breakdown to breakthrough. In this first segment, Sandy and I will discuss our experience with the victimhood and breakdown that result when we fuel ourselves with fear-based energy. And by victim, I mean choosing to make ourselves victims to our own fears and limiting beliefs. As a life coach and Reiki master, I help people who are stuck in the hamster wheel approach to life, trapped by fear and the mistaken belief that busyness is the same as purpose. They can't stand the way they're living, but feel powerless to stop. Sandy's own life is an inspiring example of the transformation that's possible when you shift from fueling yourself with fear to fueling yourself with unconditional self-love. Sandy, I understand that, like so many of us, your fear-based path on the hamster wheel included an unhappy marriage that ended in divorce.
Yes, Deborah, like a lot of people, I was afraid to leave. I was married with two kids. They were the joy of my life, and I was happy with my friends and my family, but I lived with a man who literally sucked the life force out of me, and it was not good for me to be there, but the fears came up, the fear of raising the kids alone, you know, the fear of the financial responsibility, and I kept getting the messages, and I was not listening. I got the intuitive hits. I got the gut feelings. There were flat-out facts and circumstances right in my face, and I wasn't listening to any of those, and I know a lot of people can relate to that.
Well, and so what was life like day to day as you continued to ignore those? Because I know one of the things that happens, the wonderful thing about the universe is it never gives up on us. If there's something, if there's a road we're supposed to travel, lessons we're meant to learn, and gifts we're meant to discover and share with the world, if we don't learn our lesson, you know, gently and quickly, as we say in Reiki, then it will keep raising the bar until it finally gets our attention.
Oh, it got my attention, okay. I went into the hospital for a really routine abdominal surgery. I was 40 years old with these young children, and the surgery went beautifully. I was in my room on the morphine pump. I'd had a visitor, so I said to my husband, you know, go home and be with the kids. I'm fine. Don't, you know, you don't need to stay. And they found me in my room, blue, unresponsive, with no pulse or heartbeat. And there are many stories around it that shows you that when something happens huge in your life, it's like the ripple effect, like a pebble in a pond, the different things that happen around it and the different people that it affects. A candy striper volunteer was the one who came into my room, and she went to the nurse's station and said, "Is she always that color?" And Linda was the name of the nurse, and she said,
like,
"Oh, yeah, she's
blue,
real
huh?
fair. She's real light." And she said, "No, is she always blue?" And Linda leapt over the desk, ran to my room, started, chest compressions, got the crash cart coming and everything. And obviously, they saved my life. But she went home. Her shift was over before I was, back and, myself and fully awake. Linda was gone. I never got to physically meet this woman, and she was going to be off for the next 4 days. Mm-hmm. And when I talked to her on the phone, I actually took an angel basket to the hospital to thank her for saving my life. And when I talked to her on the phone, she said, "I believe you were brought to me as a gift. I think God brought you to me because I've been a nurse for 30 years and was getting a little stagnant. And you have changed my life." And so that was one thing. Here I'm having my own near-death experience, but in this woman's eyes, it was hers. It was for her. And then I found out later that at a meeting with the hospital staff and the insurance people, I was a file folder, the healthy 40-year-old white female who arrested for no reason was actually used to help them convince them they needed more help on that surgery floor. Nothing ever happened on that floor. Everybody just came, had surgery, healed, and went home. And so, and so that's all happening. But in the meantime, I'm having, I had this amazing experience, and I came back and was never the same person. I actually had a choice to stay and kept hearing my children's voices calling me and made the decision to come back. And when I came back, I was strong enough to leave that unhappy marriage. And that, was a huge gift in itself. And that was really only the beginning.
Well, and it, what's interesting, so many things are interesting about your story. In fact, my book opens by sharing this. When I was born, I had my near-death experience. So any life that starts with one, honey, it's going to be a roller coaster.
Absolutely.
But isn't it interesting that, like so many, of course, you had your own experiences and memories and got your own wake-up call from it, but so did everyone around you. And it reminds me of one of the new shows last year called Touch with Kiefer Sutherland. I think it's on Fox. And the premise of the show is essentially that we are all connected in ways we can't imagine. And the show goes about showing how these different people's lives, it's a fictional show, but it's just extraordinary. And we find out that in ways we didn't even imagine, like Linda, like the nurse who said, I was getting a little stagnant. She's probably getting frustrated because she didn't have enough help. They'd probably tried to get help. And so, yeah, you had to almost die. But oh, by the way, by doing that and coming back to us, not only did you get the message you finally needed to get and the courage you needed to find, but so did a whole bunch of other people get the messages they needed. So one of the things that I'd love to have you talk about, because now, after you nearly die, you figure it's all going to be easy from here. I mean, what could be harder than that? But I know that as you answered the call and became an energy healer and were letting go of fear in your life, the universe offered you yet another opportunity to realize that, energy healers, certainly back then, but still today, from my experience, we have our own version of fear to deal with in bringing our voice to the world.
That is so true, Deborah. I got a piece of paper in the mailbox, a little postcard, and it was about energy healing in Boulder, Colorado. Never heard of it, never thought of it, threw it away. Now, I am serious. I threw it away 3 times. And when it came back on my desk, that last time I looked up to the heavens, I raised my hands, I said, "I get it. I'm supposed to do this, aren't I?" And so that began my training, and you know, I did become Reiki master, and I learned, you know, Archmaster Healing, and as everybody does, when you learn something that's so exciting and so wonderful in your life, the first thing you want to do is share it with, you know, your friends and family and say, look at what I've found, look at the difference this can make. Well, I learned real fast that, you know, particularly back then, you really needed to be quiet. You really needed to just walk your path. Learn what you were learning. I accepted at that point that it was really for my own growth at that time, because not many people were ready. Not many people were ready to hear about it. I did have children who were raised with an energy healer mom, and they were totally into it and thought that was great. But of course they couldn't go to school and, you know, tell their friends or their teachers or coaches, you know, oh, you know, my mom's an energy healer. So we were kind of, we were like the little closet family who, on a daily basis, oh my gosh, the gifts of the tools, you know, that you learn to cope with daily stress and daily life and the things that happen, the amazing experiences with, you know, angels and guides and everything was so wonderful, but it had to stay just in my home and my life for a while, because I had some negative reactions from people and judgments. And I mean, my own son playing football, if he hurt himself in the game, would just find me in the stands and point to the, you know, where it was hurting, and he knew I would send energy from the stands, but certainly weren't going to tell the coach that. And so that's where the fear came in. And it's so much better today. But I would never ever go backwards. All of these things happened so that I could realize who I was here to be, the work I was here to do, the light worker that I came to be. And it's such a wonderful experience that every year on November 21st, I celebrate it as my spiritual birthday. And there's a song by John Denver, and it says, he was born in the summer of his 27th year. Mm-hmm. And I always say I was born in the winter of my 40th year.
Mm. And I am so glad you were. And we have time before a break. I would love to tell people the story of how you and I met, because it's kind of funny. You know,
absolutely.
That you know, neither of us was thinking the day that we ended up on the phone together that we would be talking to, you know, energy, you know, fellow light workers and energy healers and, you know, life coaches and of one sort or another. And so say a little bit about how you found me and then how we found each other.
Okay. So, and during the day and for 23 years, I have sold, you know, print advertising, been with the same publisher, worked out of my home, loved my job, meet wonderful people, realized that, you know, you need to bring light to the corporate world. And so I've done that, and I was doing the Aurora Chamber Directory, and I saw, you know, DJW Life Coach as a new member, called on this woman, immediately on the phone, had a connection, and started visiting with her and asked if she would, you know, maybe like to spread her word to the community in the chamber directory. And when we met, we made a lunch date, and we met, and Deborah, it was like we were friends, had been friends for life, you know, and just picked up again. And I find that in my life, like, you know, my friends are other light workers and, you know, psychotherapists and acupuncturists and mediums and because we're drawn together, the universe pulls us together to support each other, to you know, to be part of each other's lives and to share the energy. So from there, you know, found out what you were doing. And by the way, people, this is a lovely woman. Absolutely lovely woman and talented. And it's such an honor to have met you. I'm so grateful to Spirit.
Well, and I am grateful to know you, because in the same way that you helped transform Linda's life in the hospital when you nearly died, you didn't have to nearly die for me. You just had to show up. You just have to show up and be you. And one of the interesting things Sandy talks about as we walk this path, you know, as we go through our own transformation, and I too say, when I experienced what I experienced, when I got the magic of letting go of the fear and falling in love with myself and truly loving myself every day and how that transformed every aspect of my life, all I wanted to do was bottle it and give it away. Mm-hmm. And the first way, you know, the two ways in which I found to do that were as a Reiki master and as a life coach. But one of the interesting things is just because you start to walk down this path that looks kind of zen to other people does not mean you aren't going to meet with obstacles, things that appear to be obstacles that are actually opportunities. And one of the things I met with was people that said, well, that's lovely, dear. You know, they sort of pat me on the head metaphorically. That's lovely. You know, you could do that with individuals who are trying to find themselves. But, you know, you were a big time consultant for all those years with these huge companies all over the world. I mean, businesses aren't going to be interested in that. And you can't coach businesses and, you know, and business people. Well, the reality is wherever you go, there you are. But meanwhile, I heard that and was like, oh, well, you know, maybe they're right. But Sandy found me at a time when I was really sort of chafing against that limitation and that idea. I had tons of business experience. I am well qualified to coach business people around business issues and businesses around organization transformation. I did it for years. And I'm here to tell you, there is no organization transformation. I don't care if your organization is a marriage, a family, a city government, a church, or a Fortune 100 company. There is no organization transformation without personal transformation. And so Sandy caught me at a time when I was trying to think about how do we start to get that message out. And so that ad I did with her for the Chamber Directory was the place where I found my voice in that and talked about when love transforms your relationship with yourself, it can't help but transform your personal life, your work, and the world. And so she was once again the channel for me to start to move my message, expand it, step farther into my greatness, get even bigger, be less afraid. And it actually, she then introduced me to the people who were doing the Aurora Guide, which is an annual publication that goes all over the place. All the realtors use it. Everybody uses it. It's in all the restaurants. And I am pleased to be one of two featured local individuals that have spotlight two-page articles in the guide this year. So the relationship and the door she opened and the opportunities to let go of a little more of my fear, step into my love even more deeply, and be able to touch more lives with hope and possibilities. Because for me, that's what my life is about. That's what this show is about. That's what Sandy's life is about. And that brings us to the point where we should take a short break. We'll be back with you in 2 minutes.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Inspired by today's show? Visit Deborah at DJWLifeCoach.com and click on the Current Offers tab to access her proven life coaching programs and tools. Everything from her signature workbooks and videos to entertaining and inspiring blogs and newsletters. You'll even have the opportunity to sign up for a 60-minute complimentary coaching session. If someone offered you a precious gift for an hour of your time, would you be interested? That's what Deborah offers in a comp session. It isn't a brief demo or sample. It's a full 45-minute coaching session focused on your current real-life challenges, plus 15 minutes to discuss any questions you may have about her approach. Those who've experienced Deborah's comp sessions will tell you that when you show up fully committed to your own growth and open to the possibilities for transformation, big breakthroughs happen. What have you got to lose other than your fears and limiting beliefs? Visit the Current Offers tab on DJWLifeCoach.com. Choose your energy and change your life.
Hi, I'm Ed Krell, CEO of Destination Maternity. We proudly support the March of Dimes work in reducing premature births. Almost 500,000 babies are born too soon in the United States. We're helping the March of Dimes fund cutting-edge research and life-saving programs to help moms in our communities have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us during Prematurity Awareness Month in working together for stronger, healthier babies. Visit marchofdimes.com.
Friend us on Facebook to keep up with what's empowering the world. Voice America Empowerment.
You are listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life with Deborah Jane Wells. If you have a question or comment for the program today, please call us toll-free at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. Or you may send an email to Deborah at djwlifecoach.com. Now, back to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life.
Hi, everyone. This is Deborah again. Welcome back to our show with my guest, Sandy Ausman. In the previous segment, we discussed how choosing to fuel ourselves with fear-based core energy creates misery in our lives. In this second segment, Sandy and I will examine our experience with the victory and breakthrough that result when we fuel ourselves with love-based energy, characterized by respect, curiosity, compassion, and gratitude. You know, the secret is actually quite simple. When you fall in love with yourself, everything else falls into place, personally and professionally. Choosing love as your core energy changes your perceptions, opportunities, relationships, and priorities. You get unstuck, reclaim your personal power, and recapture your zest for living, moving yourself forward into a life you love. When love transforms your relationship with yourself, it transforms your personal life, your work, and the world. So, Sandy, how did your life change when you chose to get off the hamster wheel and began choosing unconditional self-love as your fuel instead?
The many, many experiences through the years, they just keep coming. The information, the new opportunity for growth, Spirit just keeps bringing it to you, and through the people around you, through I was petting my dog, and guides came to me and said, give 100% attention with your hands when you're petting your dog. Give 100% attention. Don't be anywhere else, and see the difference that makes. Give everything you've got. And that carries on into, you know, so many areas of life. People with their new baby, when they bring it home from the hospital and are practicing the massage they've been taught, 100% attention when you're with your lover, 100% attention, you know, in everything you do. They taught me just through while I was petting my dog. And that has, you know, that I've carried in so many ways. Now I go out to my horse, and he knows the difference and responds to me differently when I'm just, you know, touching him, grooming him, because that's what I need to do and I'm on a time frame, or when I'm there and I'm giving 100% attention. And then he's totally with me, totally into it. So think of all the ways in our life that we can use that message. It's, when you're in spirit, yes, you're hanging out in bliss and you get to see the whole picture and everything, but there is no touch on the other side. This is a gift that we are given as humans in the human body. And they brought this through to me so beautifully and so clearly that I actually look at my hands differently now.
You know, the story that came to me, the experience that came to me, and I know we are going to be privileged to have Sandy with us again next week when we're going to talk about your personal emotional trainers. And I am reminded, I had a dear friend who was killed in a head-on car crash. So to say she died unexpectedly is an understatement. And I had only known her for 18 months, but she was just an amazing person. And I was involved in helping to deal with the aftermath of this experience, in particular in helping to find her two animal companions who had been in the car with her dog and her cat. And the end of that first week after she passed, I was supposed to go out. I just didn't emotionally feel up to it. I hadn't really let, hadn't cried. I hadn't stopped myself from crying, but, you know, as we so often, there's a business to death, and so there's a lot to do. And that night, I laid down on my couch and just decided to stay home. I put on some soft music and began to weep. And I laid there just being with my hand over my heart, being fully present with the exquisite agony of mourning the physical passing. You know, I still talk to her. I believe spirit is eternal. So, you know, she's not gone. She's just not in the same form I had. Can't, as you say, can't reach out and hug her, can't reach out, touch her hand. But as I laid there, I had this insight. And I said out loud, probably knowing me, this is what love feels like. This is this magnificent gift of how deeply a life can touch us. And then how deeply, when we start to cultivate that feeling for ourselves and get out of the way all the fear-based messages we tell ourselves about what we can and can't do and what we're good at and what we're not and how we always screw up and that stuff that we would never say to another being. When we start to get that out of the way and feel that for ourselves, it is the most empowering, magnificent, unbelievable experience.
Absolutely, Deborah. And that, I mean, when you say fall in love with your life, that's falling in love with your life. Feeling every feeling, even if it's grief, feeling it and knowing all of it is a gift. All of it is a gift. And the children know that without being told, without reading any books, without studying. The children know that. My nephew from Utah came out, and he brought his two adorable girls. His wife was with him. He was doing some work out here. And I said, come out to the ranch and let the girls meet my horse. And Gabby, the older one, you know, we had to pick her up to get her up to so that she could pet the horse. And she's petting my horse without me ever telling her about the, you know, 100% energy and attention, you know, while you're petting or anything. Never said a word. She pets my horse. And she holds up that tiny, beautiful little hand, and she said, I can feel the softness in my hand. Mm. And I was like, they get it. get it, and they live it, you know. Be here, right here, right now, this moment. And that's what you were experiencing. That's what Gabby experienced, and that was the gift that I was given.
Well, and I know that however far we've gone on our journey, however amazing it already has been. We both had NDEs. We both, you know, both made it through marriages that weren't optimal. Both found the path we found, but, you know, so many things, exquisitely painful things, exquisitely pleasant things. And yet there's still that opportunity to go deeper. And, you know, I know with the work that I do in the world and how it keeps expanding and evolving, and even with the writing of my book, you know, I at one point had picked a pretty much hypothetical due date of having it done by the end of October. And as I got close, the universe said, no, she's not finished. I mean, it would have been a nice book. It would have had some interesting stories. I had 10 lovely stories from clients that are very inspiring. I had my own story of transformation. And the universe said, uh-uh, because you're starting to really get your own voice around this idea of falling in love with yourself. And the discovery framework was just starting to come together as a framework. And they said, no, we're just going to slow her down because we need her to get the rest of the message. Because when this book goes out, it's not going to be the 25,000 words she thought it would be. At the moment, it's at 78,000 words, 294 pages. And in the next week, I expect to be finished drafting the manuscript and then start proofing, and it will go off to Hay House, Balboa Press. But, you know, the universe had more work for me to do. And so because I pay more attention to that energy and not forcing it, because forcing it is never the answer. The result would have been okay, but lackluster to the impact it could have had in people's lives to foster hope and possibilities. So I know, Sandy, I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. And I know that every day you go deeper. You didn't start out as an animal communicator. And, you know, the title of our episode is If You Could Talk to the Animals. And that's because that's where, you know, that's one of the places that life has now taken you. Just talk some more about how it keeps unfolding.
Well, one of the other things that has so much to do with your, you know, fall in love with yourself. Most people, when you think of falling in love with yourself, you know, you look at yourself, you look down at yourself from the outside. You can, you know, you can touch with your heart, you can touch with your spirit and your mind and your thoughts and your emotions. But I was given an opportunity to understand a deeper level of falling in love with yourself. I went into a meditation, and now, listeners, you don't need to do a meditation. You don't need to know how to meditate for this to, you know, be something to incorporate into your life, too. I just was going to go into a meditation, and guides came and took me on a journey inside of my own body and my own cells. So we have 50 trillion cells in our human body, and they have consciousness. They're alive. And I was taught that they listen to what we say. They listen to our thoughts. They respond negatively or positively to our thoughts and our feelings. I went through this human body to all these cells and was able to say hello to them and acknowledge them. I honored them and thanked them. I mean, my gosh, they gave me, you know, 2 children through this body. They let me touch and feel, you know, my animals and the softness and I mean, your own face. Feel your own face and really feel. They let me walk this earth plane. I was able to tell them, I honor you. I see you clearly. I see you whole and healthy and healed. And I am so sorry that it took me 56 years to realize we're a team, to realize that we are here together. You're alive and part of me. I love you so much. And let me tell you, after that, a couple of things happened that still just blow me away. I got on the plane to fly my daughter to Florida. I moved her down there. And I've always had air sickness, get nauseous when we take off. Have to look where the little, you know, baggie is in case I'm going to get sick during the flight. If we do turbulence, you don't want to be sitting by me. Get nauseous landing, get off the plane. I'm a little bit green. It takes me about an hour, you know, to acclimate myself again. Got on the plane to Florida, took off, had turbulence so strong that I was holding up the, you know, cup of juice my daughter had ordered, holding it up in the air so that it wouldn't spill on us. Plane, you know, up and down, bam, and landed, got off the plane, felt great, looked at my daughter and said, I don't have air sickness anymore. And I'd had a rash on my elbows for years. Went to dermatologist. We don't know what it is. Here, you can try some of these things, but we have no idea what it is. You know, maybe this will help. Maybe this will help. Nothing helped. The rash, I was doing my hair like a week later and looked at my elbows. The rash was gone. Just from loving my body, just from honoring, thanking, and loving myself. Now, if you don't do anything with meditation, you don't have to have a daily practice or anything to know that you can just sit down, look at yourself in the mirror somewhere in your life, realize we're so magnificent. So we have these beautiful spirits that live inside of us. We have this human body that is like our team member that is, you know, listening to us, responding to us. Think of the horrible things women say to their bodies. I hate my fat legs. I hate my stomach, you know, things like that. Well, I've totally changed from that. The cellulite on the thighs, love it. Love every ounce of everything because this is me. This is my body. And that was a new thing that just came to me recently on self-love.
Well, you are the only you we have. You are an incredibly precious natural resource. And, you know, there are all kinds of really cool scientific experiments that have been done about exposing plants to negativity versus positivity and how the ones that get negativity die. And, you know, all kinds of amazing stories about people who scientific studies that have been done with people who are in hospital wards and they have identical illnesses that are at roughly the same place. And one group gets prayed for. They don't even know they're being prayed for. And that group statistically gets better faster. heals better, faster. So really embracing every aspect of who you are, believing it had a purpose. So, oh, by the way, Sandy, don't feel bad that it took 56 years to get the message, because when you got the message, all that experience you already had, that's part of what you could bring and give voice to as you then talked with others about the difference in living this way. So, you know, it is a journey. Everything has a purpose. Everything we encounter is an opportunity. And when we look at it in that way and we approach it in that way, it becomes an opportunity. But when we experience everything about our lives, and especially everything about ourselves, as a burden and insufficient, then it's not surprising that that's the kind of experience we have. You know, energy attracts like energy. It's a scientific fact. And so when you're fostering all that negativity, you're going to encounter negativity everywhere, and you're going to foster negativity in your body. But when you foster constructive core energy, and in my case, I talk about using love, respect, curiosity, compassion, and gratitude. You know, you may have other words that resonate for you. It's whatever works for you to get that feeling. When you foster that energy and those elements, and we're going to talk in a few minutes about respect, about the second component, your entire life changes, and it changes for the better, and it doesn't stop changing. But meanwhile, we are going to stop now, and we're going to take another short break and be back in another 2 minutes.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
I'm Dr. Sam Nussbaum with WellPoint. We proudly support the March of Dimes work in reducing premature birth. Almost 500,000 babies are born too soon in the United States. We're helping the March of Dimes fund cutting-edge research and life-saving programs. These programs, such as Centering Pregnancy, help moms in our communities have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Please join us during Prematurity Awareness Month in working together for stronger, healthier babies. Visit MarchOfDimes.com.
Inspired by today's show? Visit Deborah at DJWLifeCoach.com and click on the Current Offers tab to access her proven life coaching programs and tools. Everything from her signature workbooks and videos to entertaining and inspiring blogs and newsletters. You'll even have the opportunity to sign up for a 60-minute complimentary coaching session. If someone offered you a precious gift for an hour of your time, would you be interested? That's what Deborah offers in a comp session. It isn't a brief demo or sample. It's a full 45-minute coaching session focused on your current real-life challenges, plus 15 minutes to discuss any questions you may have about her approach. Those who've experienced Deborah's comp sessions will tell you that when you show up fully committed to your own growth and open to the possibilities for transformation, big breakthroughs happen. What have you got to lose other than your fears and limiting beliefs? Visit the Current Offers tab on DJWLifeCoach.com. Choose your energy and change your life.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
You're listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life with Deborah Jane Wells. If you have a question or comment for the program today, please call us toll free at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. Or you may send an email to Deborah at DJWLifeCoach.com. Now, back to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life.
Hi, Deborah here. Welcome back to our show with my guest and dear friend, Sandy Ausman. In the first two segments, Sandy and I examine the transformative power of getting off that hamster wheel by choosing unconditional love, respect, curiosity, compassion, and gratitude to fuel our core energy. In this final segment of the show, we'll explore respect, the second attribute of love, from the Discovery Framework in my upcoming book.
Deborah, I know when you talk in your upcoming book about respect, you invest a lot of energy in helping us understand the role of healthy boundaries. Could you talk to us about that?
Oh, boundaries, 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 relationships. I always say that relationships are the doctoral program of life. That just when you think you've gotten the unconditional self-love and respect and curiosity and compassion and gratitude figured out, the universe says, you're doing great, honey. You know, we got you through high school. But we now want to send you off for some advanced training. So we're going to put relationships in your life. And then it starts to become tricky. And what's tricky is when we talk about this idea of having healthy boundaries, most people assume we're talking about the boundary around me, you know, the boundary around myself. And as challenging as that is for some of us to get clarity on that, I have found it's much trickier for me to learn how to respect where my boundary ends and yours begins. So one of the things that people will say when they find themselves sticking their nose in other people's business in ways that aren't constructive, they'll say, well, you know, it comes from a good place. And the reality is, no, honey, it doesn't come from a good place. It comes from fear. And it comes from fear. And, you know, sometimes when I say this to people, they get quite upset with me. I've had good friends get quite upset with me when I say this. But here's the thing. First of all, I only know this so well because I've lived it so often. This was the lesson I had to get over and over. And this is still the one the universe sends me refreshers on. And the fear shows up in three forms. So let's see if any of these resonate for you. The first is, the fear is actually a form of anxiety. So let's suppose that Sandy has decided to go off and do something with her life that is a little scary. Scary for me. And she's all excited about it, but I'm afraid. Or let's suppose Sandy's going through a difficult divorce and I see my friend suffering. And when my friend suffers, I suffer. Well, the reality is, when I try to shortcut Sandy's pain or try to divert Sandy from a path that she thinks is right for her because it's causing me pain, I'm not trying to save Sandy from anything. I'm trying to stop my pain. And the only way to stop my pain fast is to get Sandy to stop whatever she's doing. So that's the anxiety one. It's about stopping my anxiety. It has nothing to do about what's optimal for the other. The second one is self-doubt. So let's suppose that I become a Reiki master. And as Sandy talked about, you know, when you discover something new in your life that has transformative power, heck, when you see a movie that really inspires you or read a book, you know, you want to tell everybody and you kind of want everybody to read it or go see the movie. And you might even in this case want everybody to become, you know, get involved with Reiki and be a Reiki master and be really be into it. So here's what happens though. You encounter people who don't think it's cool. Some of them think it's really weird. Some of them don't agree with it. Some of them, you know, might have religious beliefs that they think, you know, contradict it. What, you know, whatever their issue is. And now what happens is you start to question whether your choice is a valid one, whether your choice is a valid one for you, because everybody else isn't picking it. And so maybe you become a little more aggressive at trying to get them all to choose it. Not because you know in your heart that it's optimal for them. Frankly, you can't know that. Only they can know what's optimal, what's highest good in their life. Spirit will speak to them about their life. Your job, honey, is to get your nose back in your own business, because I bet there's some places in your life, Deborah, that you don't really have totally figured out. But that one is the fear and self-doubt, which is if everybody doesn't make the choices I made, maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe I need to change. And then the third one is arrogance. And yeah, this is the one that when I tell people they're being arrogant, they get a little, sometimes get a little cranked with me. And arrogance is the idea that I would think you don't know how to live your life. And that somehow I, who haven't spent one instant being you, could possibly know better than you do what you were sent here to do. I mean, baby, if that is an arrogance, I don't know what is. And there's a story that I love that really drove this one home for me. And it is the story that I remember when I catch myself getting a little too attached to whether, you know, it's not about never sharing ideas with people. People say to me, oh, well, I shouldn't make any suggestions. No, no, no. Share freely from love and then completely detach from the outcome. When you find yourself get too invested and too energetically charged by whether the person accepts what you've suggested and how quickly they accept it and how enthusiastically, then you know there's a fear going on in you. So share what truth you feel you've got to share and let the other person decide if it's true for them. And so here's the story that helps me stay on track with that whole, oh, it comes from a good place thing. In the fall, a man was watching a caterpillar spin in a cocoon. It is one of nature's most amazing fiber arts, if you ever get to see it. And fortunately, this cocoon was right outside his kitchen window. So all through the late fall and the winter, he got to watch this little cocoon withstand the weather, cold, winds, rain, hail. And he got to see it still be there in the spring as the leaves began to turn green, as the flowers began to bud. And one day, he noticed a change. He noticed something starting to poke out from the inside. And fortunately, it was on a weekend. He didn't have to go to work. And so he stayed. I mean, he would run to the bathroom and come back. He parked his chair there because he was going to watch this butterfly emerge. And this process can take some time, as growth processes always do. And over time, it became hard for him to watch because it really looked like a struggle. He imagined how the butterfly was struggling and that it must be painful. And because he's human, he imagined that the butterfly was feeling the kinds of things he'd felt in his own life when he was struggling to break through to something that was going to be better for him, but it was just taking longer than he wanted it to take. And finally, the butterfly got part of the way out, but wasn't anywhere close to finished. And, you know, the man was going to have to go to sleep too. And I'd like to think that wasn't a factor, but, you know, he didn't want the butterfly to suffer any longer. So he went into the bathroom and he got this tiny pair of cuticle scissors. And he ever so carefully, he was very, very careful. He snipped where it had started to open in the cocoon. He thought, well, I'll just slit it down further so the butterfly can get out easier. And then the butterfly won't have to suffer any longer and he can start flying around and I can start enjoying him before I go to bed. And it's just going to be wonderful for the butterfly and for me. And so he cut the cocoon open very carefully. He didn't cut the butterfly itself. And the butterfly did emerge. And he watched as the butterfly died a short while later. See, the butterfly needed that struggle. He needed that additional time. He wasn't ready yet for the role he was going to be called to. He wasn't ready to fly yet. And this man who we could say thought he was helping, when he tried to push the butterfly forward on his journey, before the butterfly had all the tools he needed to thrive, he didn't help the butterfly. In this case, he actually killed him. And that's what I do when I go beyond sharing an insight, sharing a possibility, and go to the fear-based or arrogant-based place, whether it's anxiety, whether it's self-doubt, or whether it's thinking I know better than you do. When I push another person to take my path for their life, in my time, honey, that is not what love looks like.
Oh, Deborah, that's such a beautiful story. And, you know, I mean, I've heard somewhere in the past, heard it explained that if you are constantly helping somebody, what you're really doing is holding them up so that their feet can't touch the earth plane. They can't ground. They can't walk their path. They can't learn their lessons. They can't do what they need to do. and you think, I'm going to help him, and just like the guy with the butterfly, you're not helping him at all. You're actually keeping him from their growth. And, you know, we learn that in so many ways in our life. The only energy we can change, the only thing that we have any control over is ourselves. And working on ourselves, making ourselves have loving and giving energy, making ourselves grounded and whole, making ourselves present in the moment is the thing that will affect everything around us, just like you say in your coaching. And I love that story. That's a beautiful story.
Well, and I find that it's hardest to apply in our closest relationships. It is. I talked with a couple of parents this week with a son and daughter-in-law who are in their 20s, and you know, we talked about the challenge of how do you know what love looks like when you've loved them from the moment they came into this earth and they were utterly helpless. And of course, you have to do everything for an infant. And then you have to do a little less for a 2-year-old and a little less for a 3-year-old and a little less for a 10-year-old and a little, you know, and it keeps going. And then they get to be teenagers and, oh boy, you know, better learn to be some hands off then, but not totally. And it's like in our most intimate relationships, and it isn't just about children, you know, in our marriages, in our significant others, in our sisters, in our closest friends, that, honey, oh my gosh, that is the place where that whole question of healthy boundaries comes up over and over, and where there's an opportunity to pay attention to what you're feeling. And if you start, you're feeling anxiety, you know, and we're not really talking about life and death situations. You know, if somebody's in a car that's on fire, you're going to try to get them out of the car. If they don't have the power to get them, you know, I mean, let's not be silly. We're not talking about stuff like that. We're talking about what people choose to do with their career and who people choose to marry and where people want to live and what spiritual tradition they choose to align themselves with or none at all and what college they want to go to and what, you know, what political party they choose and what beliefs they choose. And, you know, it's hard because we feel compelled to paint the other as bad or wrong when we don't agree with their beliefs. And it's not about changing your beliefs to align with theirs. It's about accepting the fact that there's a reason, you know, God didn't put 20,000 Deborah Jane Wellses on earth here. First of all, it would get kind of boring. You know, I mean, how would we get all that's here to be done and accomplished and experienced if we put 20,000 of the 20 million, you know, 200 million of the same individual? We need this diversity and we need the friction, because the friction, if we embrace the friction with love, then like the oyster with that grain of sand, what we end up doing with the friction is making a pearl. When we don't embrace it with love, all we get is royally irritated. And so at that point, my friends, we're going to close the show for the day. This is Deborah Jane Wells signing off for now. Tune in again next week when Sandy will join us once again, and we'll explore your personal emotional trainers, and we'll discuss compassion, the third attribute of love from my discovery framework. Many thanks again today to my dear friend and guest, Sandy Osman, and to my incredible Voice America production team, including my engineer, Roland Maldonado, executive producer, Randall Libero, and everyone else at Voice America who keeps me on track and makes this show possible. When you visit my voiceamerica.com host page, you'll find more information about upcoming episodes and the nature of life coaching, with opportunities to subscribe to my blog, social media feeds, and special offers to guide you on your journey to wholeness. You can even listen to recordings of past episodes. If you'd like to learn more about the transformative power of life coaching and the 60-minute complimentary coaching sessions I offer, listen to the recording of my very first episode on January 9th, 2013, starting at about the 37-minute mark for an insightful overview. Remember, when you fall in love with yourself, everything else falls into place, personally and professionally. You are loved and loving, blessed and a blessing. Namaste.
Thanks again for listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life. Please rejoin your host, Deborah Jane Wells, again next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's time to get off that hamster wheel and start fulfilling your destiny by creating a life you love.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.